The Southwest Baltimore Partnership is sailing into its second year on a rising tide of citizen planning and with the sustaining momentum of a powerful anchor institution. WYPR's Fraser Smith reports in the final installment of his series, Up With Neighborhoods. He says some of what the partnership has learned may be of value to other Baltimore neighborhoods and to city policymakers in the post-Freddie Gray era.
The partnership flourishes on careful, people-driven planning that has resulted in a chemistry of growth and stability. Early promise stems from years of late-night planning marathons, on Sherry and Bree meetups in the university president's office, on ideas and eager follow-through by doers who never seem to get enough done. Food and flowers have been key. Bloom Your Block encouraged brightening the old marble stoops. Saturday morning biscuits at Santa Claus Larry and Kathy's house turned acquaintances into friends. Smart new carryout shops arrived in Pigtown, and 11 Christmas tree ornaments for each of the new 11 newborn newcomers to Union Square illustrated growth.
It's small things, but how do you connect the dots to say, you know what, we do support everything about the gems in all of these neighborhoods. We realize we're slow and we're the big, you know, behemoth in the room, but we want you to just know, at least from Dr. Perman's perspective, we are committed to changing the way that we engage with the communities around our campus.
So says Ashley Vallis, the University of Maryland Baltimore's permanent representative to the neighborhood. Her job, encourage engagement and overcome mistrust.
There's a lot of history between universities, especially research universities, and low to moderate income communities.
If you're building a neighborhood, you have to know the history and address it with positive action. Jay Perman, the university's president, knew, and over 3 years has won a high level of support.
He's the man. I mean, he believes in what he's saying. He believes in what he's doing.
That's Kirk Crawley, a lawyer, teacher, and neighborhood advocate. He says he has issues with how the partnership allocates resources, but not with Perman. Vallis says disagreements are part of the package. Disagreements and resilience were strengths from the start.
So it was an organic kind of confluence of events that had occurred in the neighborhood that caused many of the community leaders to say, you know what, we're better when we work closer together with other neighborhoods around us, and we're also better when we work with the university and the medical center instead of being secondary thoughts to their planning.
All of this led to satisfying one of the inevitable requirements for a robust working operation, money. The Goldsecker Foundation supported the nascent partnership by funding consultants and the hiring of a director. The big hospital gave a critical level of support and power, way beyond what most neighborhoods have been able to muster. That may be changing in Baltimore. Johns Hopkins University announced a major commitment of resources after Gray's death. It recruited 25 other businesses to the party. Under Armour's Port Covington project includes a $25 million training center. The partnership's new director, Michael Sipe, brings decades of experience in Baltimore to the partnership's seven neighborhoods. Along with Perman, Sipe will be the straw that stirs the drink. He says Baltimore's institutions and city leaders need to rethink their approach to uplift in general. Philanthropy is great, he says, but
people actually, in my opinion, engage best when they understand that it's in their self-interest to engage.
Perman and his university, for example, are frank to say the partnership serves the institution. It offers neighborhoods where its students and employees might live and walk to work. The partnership's community forums can help with creating a new culture of healthcare where costly emergency rooms are a last resort. For Baltimore as a whole, Sipe says, the reality is this. We're on our own. We have to use whatever we have to leverage action.
And what cities like Baltimore are confronted with is how can we be creative about the resources that are there? I mean, we need, as a city, need to take a risk. And we need, that's where we need the institutional leadership to be more creative with us.
The city has $1 billion in state money to build new and repair aging schools. So leaders have to think about how that money can benefit surrounding communities, Sipe says.
We need to think about how Baltimore is going to become a 21st century city today, and in 20 years is going to be a 22nd century city. That means we're going to attract and keep the millennials and the millennials' kids.
The new mayor has to lean on institutions, borrowing talent and resources, Sipe adds. In a recent interview, Mayor Pugh said again that neighborhood development will be a focal point in her administration.
We've had the sense to create retail, community amenities that people are attracted to. And so we need to do that in other parts of our city.
She said she will be inclined to see the Southwest Partnership and other similar organizations as assets. Sipe says neighborhoods might help the city find new owners for abandoned houses. They would then watch the rebuilding effort, keeping it on track.
Tax sale certificate is not just a way to get, you know, some cash in to take a bad debt off of your books.
And what about public safety? That's what most, if not every, neighborhood wants. Again, Michael Sipe.
If we rely on our police department to make our city safe, we will fail. It's not simply a policing problem. How the police respond and how the police department interacts with communities is critical, but it's not just on the police department.
Neighborhoods will set their own priorities, to be sure. Whatever focus people choose, the Southwest experience shows how a new partnership ethic could give the city a better shot at success. I'm Fraser Smith reporting from Southwest Baltimore, 488.1 WYPR.
Our special series on the Southwest Baltimore Partnership is made possible with grant support from Patricia and Mark Joseph.